Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today. Just a few thoughts off the top. It's for me, y'all may not feel this way at all. I can sometimes come to church, given the context of the things going around in the world, and feel, how does this line up? We just sang a song about that we'll feast and weep no more, and yet we know there are people who live not too far away from us who are weeping this morning because of the tornadoes and things. And so how does all of that work out? And I'm not going to preach on that, but pardon me, just remembering that in the culmination of all things, this is a vision of the way things are supposed to be and will be. Certainly we weep between now and then, and we weep this morning with those who have been affected by the storms, and we don't forget them. So I'm actually preaching from the Isaiah passage, but I thought I'd say something about that. Well, the gospel passage said that people came to be baptized and confess their sins, so I guess, okay, it's true confessions time this morning. I'm not going to call on anybody, so I'll just do it myself. When I was a teenager, I think I was 16 years old, if I remember correctly. I was out one evening with a group of classmates in this little town I grew up in. There were probably 10 or so of us. And I didn't do this with any regularity. I hardly ever did this. That's true. We decided, now, for the youth in here, I was wrong. So let me preface this. We decided that it would be fun to imbibe some alcoholic beverages underage. And we did this at the cemetery in town. Well, of course, we had barely begun when the local constabulary showed up. So we all got sent home to our parents. And the next morning, we were told to come down to the courthouse and come before Judge Spencer. Oh, man. Judge Spencer was scary. He was an older guy, had kind of that ring of thinning white hair, a big bald dome on the top, a big crooked nose, and he wore his glasses down at the end. And I thought, oh, man, I'm in deep trouble. So I go in there with my dad, and I swear they bought three times as much liquor as we had, because the whole office was piled with stuff. I was like, there's no way this was us. You brought things that had been confiscated from somewhere else. I was obviously scared, and I was wrong. Again, I was wrong. And Judge Spencer, at the end of scaring my pants off, said, "Son, this will not go on your record." Whew. I mean, I didn't know how things worked, but I was just really glad to hear that. "This will not go on your record." Well, you know, sometimes things obviously get put on the record, and they even get put in newspapers, although with less frequency, some do newspapers potentially put in things like bankruptcy and things that shame people because they're more valuable space perhaps for advertisers. But I know they still will, in newspapers, post things of the things that have gone wrong in society. And of course, even if the newspapers might not do it, if anybody finds out, it's going to be all over social media. And it's that Don Henley, dirty laundry, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. And all of a sudden, this becomes your identity. Well, let's say even beyond the infractions of the things that we've done like that, could you imagine if your sins were published for people to see, like your private thoughts? What if we just picked somebody in here and took your private thoughts over the last week, and let's just put them up here for all of us to see? I mean, we'd all get off the grid immediately. We'd never come back, right? Because we know ourselves. So I say all of that to set up this Isaiah passage for us. Now, in the ancient Middle East, there was a custom similar to what we would do in the newspapers, where you would post things, particularly things like bankruptcy, indebtedness at the city gates. You would post this, and everybody knew that this person was not good for his debts, and it would list their debts at the city gates. And of course, it brought a tremendous amount of shame upon the individual that this was happening to. Well, if somebody was fortunate enough to have a kinsman, somebody that they were kin to, that person could see this posting and then pay off their debt, take care of the debt for them. And when they do this, they would fold over this record against them and hide the humiliation, the source of humiliation, from everybody. It reminds me a bit, are any Seinfeld fans out here? It's the bounce check at the Mercado, remember? The Little Jerry episode where there's the rooster, and Jerry doesn't want his bounce check to be posted because it's humiliating. It's similar to that. It's like, how can I take that down? And what made it even worse, the check had clowns on it, if you remember. So it's a clown check. So it's even worse than that, having your financial humiliation put out in front of people. From Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, I don't know about you in hearing that, but it seems like these verses in a way contradict themselves. The first half is saying, comfort my people. Bring comfort. Of course, in this situation, they're in exile, but it also has a future connotation as it looks forward to what Jesus has done. But it's saying, you know, speak tenderly to Israel. Give her comfort. Her term of humiliation has been served. And then at the end, it sounds like she's received twice the punishment for what has happened. She's received double from the Lord's hand for all her sins. Does that seem weird to you? Comfort my people, you've gotten twice as much as you may have deserved. It's kind of like, it's one of those things where I always thought it was odd when I was going to get punished and someone said, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. I'm like, well, who are you kidding? I'm not that dumb. I mean, I'm not the sharpest guy, but that's not true. It's going to hurt me far more than it hurts you. So it seems weird that it would say that. Well, there's good evidence that this verse is referring to the old custom, which I just shared with you in the ancient Middle East. That when the record of somebody's indebtedness was paid by somebody, it was doubled over and nailed to the city gate, and it was called the double. Now, that seems to make more sense to me. She has received from the Lord's hand the double for all of her sins, that her indebtedness is gone because he has paid. And of course, this looks forward to what Christ does for us. We hear it again in Colossians. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So we even get allusions there of this pardoning, this your indebtedness has been wiped away. What I want you to hear this morning is, instead of getting mired in kind of the technicalities of what that may mean, the stories I've related to you, is this matters. It should affect the way we live. We talk about having the good news in Christianity. But how often is that good news watered down or mingled with, well, but maybe he didn't go all the way? And I want you to know he did. God has done everything to Erase the humiliation. As Judge Spencer to me, this will not go on your record. But there's something important about Christ having paid our debts through death, right? He goes to death. The wages of sin is death. So what does Jesus do? What does God do for us? Fine, I'll go to death for all of humanity for all time. And I will give them the double and fold this over, and there is no record of wrong against them, and they can stop living in shame and humiliation. But there's something about that, and that is the good news can only start being good if you believe it. I know that seems simple. It's like, well, of course that's true. It's true, but it's difficult, because how often do we then go back to the city gate, take the tack out, and open up the record of humiliation against ourselves and others? We do it almost unconsciously all the time. We revisit and revisit and live in the shame and humiliation. And it's hard for us to live, as we sang, up in the shalom, in the freedom of God. No, it doesn't say that we don't do things wrong. Of course we do. It's part of maturing. It's part of growing up. Just as our kids, if you have children, watch them grow up. We don't expect them to do everything perfectly without fail. This fun, adventurous laboratory called life is part of us growing into maturity as sons and daughters of God, but doing it in the freedom that we have been redeemed fully, and we don't need to live in shame and humiliation. Amen.